With NFR Extra, we're going to take you behind the scenes in a way you've never heard before. Every 2 weeks, you're going to hear personal conversations with the icons and personalities that make up the world's richest and most prestigious rodeo. NFR Extra. All dirt, all rodeo, all year.
Well, here we are. Episode 6, NFR Extra Podcast.
All dirt.
All rodeo.
All year.
That's right. And with 6, we're halfway to a dozen. A Bickers dozen we got going on here.
We're a half dozen. This is Bo Gardner.
And I'm Nevada Colwell. And we're your hosts for the NFR Extra Podcast. Well, this is a great one. And this is a nice little lineup and very pointed to what's going on in the summer and what's getting ready to get started here in the next couple of weeks.
Envy, this is pretty sweet for us as we get to talk to 23-time Wrangler NFR announcer Mr. Bob Tolman. We get the opportunity to dive into a conversation about Reno Rodeo's 100th anniversary, plus the health of the cowboy on the road to the Wrangler NFR.
On the headstone stop after that, we get to sit with our very own NFR insider, Susan Canoe, joins us on the show to get the 411 on College National Finals Rodeo's past, present, and bright future.
And I hope I do this right. Maria Prekajis interviews 8-time bull riding world champion, Mr. Donnie Gay.
Hi, I'm world champion Jacob Crawley, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm 23-time world champion cowboy Trevor Brazil, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Good afternoon. My name is Cotton Ross from Marysville, California. Welcome to NFR Extra.
This is Bo's Bull, the rodeo news of the week.
We had a great time last week on the Las Vegas Strip for the 2019 Wrangler NFR photo shoot as we shut down the strip to parade out our current world champs, Tyler Wagesback, Wade Sundell, and Haley Kenzel, amongst others. But those are a few that we're going to kind of have a little conversation quickly about where they're at, what's going on, and how they're feeling.
Envy, you said we shut down the strip.
That's right.
I can't believe it.
Yes, we did. Had horses. We had cowboys. There's police officers. Make sure everything was safe. Thank you.
How prestigious is that?
Pretty cool. The guys and the gals, or Haley, mm-hmm. The smiles were for days. And I think one of those concepts of when you win this thing, there's some caveats that come with being a champ, and that definitely showed that. They were feeling good, and knowing that right around the corner was the Thomas and Max. that was a beautiful thing. But, yeah, we have a couple of things that they shared with us.
Here's what Haley had to say about being a world champion.
Well, this time last year I was a tick more ahead money-wise, but I'm really happy with the way the year's gone. Both times I had a great winter. We're coming off a really good winter. I haven't gone much this spring, so I've been kind of at home relaxing. Last year I did go a little more in the springtime, so this year taking a little bit differently. Gonna wait a little longer until middle of June to take off for the summer and then start going to some bigger rodeos. So I'm excited. I'm healthy. My horse is healthy, and we're just looking forward to the rest of the year, just mentally gearing up and getting prepared for the rest of the year. It definitely gives you the confidence to go into the next year and makes me feel like we can get back to the finals and hopefully do some good again. So that's exciting. Otherwise, I still have the same horse. I'm still the same person.
Tyler Wags on being a 2-time world champion and how he's feeling about where he is currently at on the rodeo competition.
He dives into a little bit of his fraternity that he rolls with Mr. Pearson and Kyle Irwin.
His road partners.
Yeah, those guys are no joke. And I can tell the confidence is they know that they can win and win a lot.
I feel like I'm in a better position than I was last year. Last year I had a little bit slower start. I mean, I come into the finals in 11th. I'm ahead of that right now. So if I can hold on to at least top 5 or so in the world standings, I feel like I'm being a lot better position than I was last year. Mentally, I love this building. I can't wait to get back to it, you know. So, I mean, if I can continue to have a good season and be here, it would be outstanding. Physically, knock on wood, so far so good. Just got to keep everything rolling. Well, I won one world title in 2016, and I mean, that was incredible. That was the one you're always working for, you know, and finally got that one under our belt. And I mean, then this year I won the world title and they got me to ride a horse down Las Vegas Boulevard. It was pretty incredible. In my traveling group, I've got myself, Tyler Pearson, Kyle Irwin, and Ty Erickson. I think it's the best traveling group there is. I mean, we're mounted on the best horses in the business, in my opinion. And I mean, people know that we're going to win whenever we show up. You know, very seldom do we get shut out at a rodeo. We're all in the top 15 in the world standings right now, got a lot of momentum behind us. And so I look forward to the rest of this year coming into the summer. You know, I think it's going to be really great for us.
This was pretty sweet. You know, we caught up with Wade as well, Mr. Sundell, and, you know, he'd been chasing that coveted December gold for quite a while. So to ask him how he was feeling about being a champ, it's a pretty sweet response. Guy's pretty special. He's something else.
Talented.
Much talented.
Maybe one of the greatest feelings ever. Something I've worked for a long time, and I've always fell short just a little bit, and it finally come through, and it's an amazing feeling. Words can't explain it.
Hi, I'm Sean Davis, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm world champion bull rider Sage Kimsey, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm Cody Wright, two-time world champion saddle bronc rider, and this is NFR Extra.
In 1976, Bob Tolman broadcast his first Wrangler NFR, and his career blossomed from there. He's announced the NFR 23 times, 9 of them consecutively, more than any other announcer, and was voted the PRCA Announcer of the Year, also a total of 9 times.
Is it safe to say that he's the bar?
He is the bar.
Yeah, the mold, the template. We could go on just like him, but I think you all know.
All other announcers benefit from having an association with Bob Tolman.
Thanks for joining the show today, Bob Tolman. How are you doing?
Morning, boys. Morning. Ready for you.
I hope we're ready for you.
Oh, here you are.
Not every day do we get to speak with somebody of your intellect and experience in the rodeo world.
Well, intellect, I'm not quite sure about. Experience, yeah, got a couple of years behind me.
What?
Yeah, and a lot of them in Las Vegas, LVE and Boyd Gaming and people and rodeo. And, you know, I don't have any bad moments to look back on. Of course, you got to remember, I'm a native Nevadan.
Yes, sir.
So I got a little extra power over there in the upper right-hand corner. Proud of what we can do in that 702 area code.
That's a good point. And thank you. So that's too good.
What else can you say?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Tolman. So we're going to get right into this, right? The road to the NFR is getting shorter as we enter the summer rodeo season. The new rodeo prize money has benefited some cowboys and, like always, missed opportunities for others. Give us your thoughts on how you see this added money affecting decisions being made from specific cowboys on their quest to end the year as a top 15 PRCA contestant in their event. Tell us what you know, Bob, Mr. Tolman.
Well, I'm going to go back to when I started with all of this in 1971-73. And you have to understand that when prize money was under $3 million, membership was $2,500, and how it's grown today to $7,000 or $8,000 and upwards of $50 million. Of course, cost, travel, entry fees, everything else has gone up proportionately. But to look at this kind of money, the spring rodeos in California are over right now. Getting ready to go to Santa Maria with Miss Tina.
Yes.
For the weekend. And when you hit Reno on the 4th of July, you know, there's 18 at stake. So for the guys that have already qualified in the top 15 at this point, they're trying to hold their position. For the guys in 16th to 30th, they're trying to gain that position. And by the time Cheyenne is over, if you aren't within the top 20, your chances with the big money that's out there now gets a little less. So the push is June and July to get seated ahead of August and the September cutoff. And the top 15 today are not secure with as much money as there is today, you know, 2019, to make that qualification to come to Vegas in December. So you've still got to rodeo. You've got to enter. You've got to win. And anybody that thinks you're just going to lackadaisy, oh, I'll enter here and enter there. Nope. You better either load mom and the kids up or kiss them goodbye, and he'll be back in 60 days.
There's a lot at stake, that is for sure.
You bet.
So, hey, Bob, how do injuries play out with this? You know, if there's people that know that they're on an average pretty close to making the NFR, and they know they need some tweaking or some little things done under the hood, shoulders, knees, whatever it is, do you see some Cowboys able to pace themselves a little better and use that kind of that little short, I'm not going to call it a vacation, but that little time in between when the season ends going into December, you see that a lot, like where some guys like, I'm gonna take this time to heal?
I don't think if you're rodeoing full time, you ever get completely healed. Mm. Depending on how severe the tear, the break, the rip is wherever on your body. That's where the Justin Sports Medicine team, Rick Foster, and all of our volunteers and great surgeon, Dr. Tandy Freeman, Dr. E.J. Kandabi, when you think about putting these people into play, this is when mind over matter and Tylenol come to play, and you better be paying attention how you use them both. Because being sore is one thing, being torn is another, and how you look at that daily. I mean, there's rehab centers all over the country where guys go 2 or 3 days and get as much healing as they can. Then they're entered, and then they try to figure it out. Bareback riders rarely ever switch hands. Mm-hmm. Bronc riders better be able to grip the swells of their saddle. Bull riders, suck your helmet down a little tighter. Calf ropers, trying to keep their horses in shape as well as them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, knees, elbows, and backs. Team ropers, trying to keep their thumb out of the dolly. Bulldoggers, just hoping that their knees will hold one more season. And barrel racers, it's all about the horses they ride. Yep. So when you put all of those different effects into place, and if you're in good shape, you're blessed. If you're not, you got to try twice as hard. Mm. And trying to rehab, rebuild, fix while you're on the road running is difficult, very difficult. Mm. So this is where your mind has got to offset it and say, I can, you know, operate with this. I got to block out the pain. Make sense?
Yes, sir.
Well, and it makes these contestants very special athletes comparatively to other sports when you think about just this is a lifestyle mm-hmm. upon competition as well. So yeah, it's a good way to put it. Yeah.
We're not a team sport.
Nope.
So you can't run in another quarterback, another tackle, another center.
Yep.
You know, and it's you up against the wall. Nobody else is going to come back you. Mm-hmm. There's a certain amount of camaraderie that's absolutely amazing in every event and throughout the entire membership. But, you know, if you've got a sprained wrist, a broken arm, a torn knee, and you're just trying to, you know, tape and go on, as soon as you're done, we're back on ice. And they might be 7, 8, 10, 20 hour drive to where they're going. And how much ice can you stop and get? How much mm-hmm. tape can you really use? And time is the greatest healer, you know, second to surgery, and then the rehab's going to be 3 months yeah. or 6 months. Mm. So where are you in that top 15, top 30?
Yep. What are your goals? What are your ambitions? Absolutely. You have to plan yeah. for whatever your goal is.
And manage your expectations.
Yep. Totally. Yeah.
Yep. Wow. Yep. So this kind of rolls into our...
Take 6 months off, you know, and go get it fixed. Go rehab it, get it right, and then come back.
Yep. That's some great advice. And it really throws out what our fans may or may not know about the NFR contestant. What is the road to the NFR?
Yeah. Like, I mean, the process to get there is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wellness is the key quote, guys.
Yeah.
Being well. Mm-hmm. All right?
Yep.
And this goes for contract people like myself. It goes for a lot of other people of being right and trying to stay that way. I'm on a 23-day run right now, right in the middle of it as we're doing this. And you take rent cars, airplanes, borrowed cars, where are you going to have lunch, how many airports are you going to be in, how many flights are canceled, not canceled, how much is too late for this or that, and then trying to get there on time in good spirits.
Yep. Well, we do, Bob. Mr. Tallman, we appreciate you taking time to be on this NFR Extra podcast with us. And this next question kind of rolls right into what you just said. As we mentioned, you know, Memorial Day is behind us, and the summer rodeos are in full swing. And Reno Rodeo will be celebrating 100 years, and we all know Reno Rodeo is so special.
I was raised.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was raised here, and I come from one of my and I went to university here in Reno, and the Reno Rodeo in 100th year, saying it's a big damn deal.
Yeah.
Mike Torvina.
Mike.
Mm-hmm. But George Combs, the general manager, all the past presidents in behind Mr. Torvina and how this works. You got to understand that this is a $2.5-3 million payout with the BFI.
Yep.
The Reno Rope, normally Barry DiLoretto, the ladies roping, all of the other things that happen here pay big prize money. To win them on the 100th, that's going to be even more special.
Yeah. Yep.
And when you calculate 10 days of rodeo, it's actually about a 16-day event.
Mm-hmm.
Because of everything that happens here, 3 days before, and on Saturday night when it's over, that's big time money. We're all headed for Calgary and the 4th of July rodeos. And you can go from Red Lodge, Montana to Livingston to wherever you want to go. And you come back, this is, into the Midwest and North Platte, Nebraska. This is run over, I think, 21 days. If you throw Reno into it, it's a 30 or 31 day cluster that there's as much money won as there is at Denver, Fort Worth, Houston, San Antonio, San Angelo, Austin, Kissimmee, all of that kind of a thing. That's that big winter surge. Yep. And you got this big summer surge. And as I said earlier, when you get to Cheyenne, if you're on the bubble, you need to win something.
Yeah.
And whether you're roping a calf or tripping a steer on a 30-foot score or getting on a bucking horse in that big arena, you need to win something if you're behind. Mm-hmm. And after that, you really need your rodeo. This is where the circuit system, boys, is so important.
Yep,
absolutely.
I know you didn't ask me about that, but this is where this is the final flower in the bouquet.
To ask you, we love you for that.
We were betting on it.
There's so many facets to the rodeo business today. Okay, it's all about getting to the NFR, all about being in a position to tout yourself for sponsorships for the next year or the end of the year. But what about those guys that are trying to get to Kissimmee, trying to qualify in their circuits? Well, they're also a part of the overall puzzle that makes up all of this. At the big 4th of July run, for the Wilderness Circuit, the Mountain State Circuit, when you think about those two real players, now you've got the entire sphere of success of the economic clout of rodeo today for the PRCA.
Yeah,
it's huge.
If you got 2 hours, we'll just keep going. it's bigger than life, guys. It's bigger than life.
Yeah, well,
but without the nest egg at the end of the deal. And I was a part of the system when we moved to Las Vegas. Been proud of it ever since. And everything that happens in our city of Las Vegas, it's no longer, just a city of lights. It's the city of success.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? I mean, that's a great point on the culmination of what city it ends up in, and money.
Oh, yeah.
And, the bright lights. And
yeah,
it's very synonymous with
God bless Benny Binion in those days and Michael Gaughan and everybody. You think about the push before the pull.
Yeah.
And then you think about people who schedule their entire vacation or budget their, Christmas holidays spending to drive, to fly, to stay, to shop, and to watch.
We're going to go back to Reno real quick, because there's a guy in a lot, and I think you have a lot of information on this gentleman. His name is Guy Clifton. How's he associated with the Reno Rodeo?
Well, I've known Guy Clifton for 30 years, or maybe longer. He's one of the greatest sports writers of all times. He's now the curator of the Nevada State Museum and of the Legacy Project that we're building at Reno under the auspice of the Reno Rodeo, our board of directors, George Coombs, Clint Tesey, and so forth. Guy Clifton is a very integral part of it. He saw the orchard when it had one tree, and he wrote about it and planted another tree. He started talking about the orchard of the future, and he's still writing about it and still putting himself in a position to be the most knowledgeable in the Western United States as a sports writer still. And he has dedicated his life, local, playing Reno and Carson City, and what Guy Clifton has accomplished. Guy, his mind is a database information center that is second to none. Second to none, going back to the 50s. The man has dedicated his life to rodeo, and we're the, that benevolence, we're the benefactors. They need to bronze him. I don't know how much bronze it would take. He's a big fellow. Love him dearly, and everything that he's done. It's always positive about rodeo. You can hand him a bad story and he'll turn it around, and put the frosting on a bad baked cake. He can do that.
Oh, there's so many stories too in rodeo. I mean, on so many levels.
Go to lunch with Guy Clifton unless you got 3 hours.
Well,
Mr. Tolman,
and don't expect him an answer. If he doesn't have it, he'll get in his database and get you an answer.
those are the easy ones to
have. Right. Yeah.
Mr. Tolman, you and Boyd Pohemus have covered the Wrangler NFR for many years.
I was hoping you'd bring his name up.
How special.
If you weren't, I was gunning.
How special is it for you to see him step in after the legendary...
I'm his biggest cheerleader.
Mr. Sean Davis. I know you're cheerleaders for both of those gentlemen, but we just want to know, because of your involvement with Mr. Boyd Pohemus and getting him into what he is today, we just want to know from your heart how you feel about this gentleman.
I can't take credit for making Boyd who he is and what he's done. I take credit for being a lifelong friend since the first day I met him, since the first day I worked with him, and that was in Houston, until this opportunity came available. Got to understand something. There's a lot of people might have wanted that job, but there was one guy who was pierced to have it, and that's Boydie. Mm-hmm. And here's why. Being the general manager of the NFR is not a pleasing job, because you got to be able to tell people no and make them understand why. You got to be able to put people in positions that add value to the overall event that you don't have to ride herd on. You got to be able to delegate. And Boyd is the perfect man for that job. Now, he might not make a lot of friends, but that's not why he's been accepted to take the job. He's had a year with Sean, but he and I had 30 years with Sean.
Yep.
Now, he'll sit beside Sean as an equal this year, and next year it's full bore. Mm-hmm. But he will still have Sean, on thumbed up.
Yep. Well, we have... we've had many discussions with
there?
Boyd. Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're
yes,
here.
Sir.
And
we are extremely excited to have Boyd in his position. And just like you said, he has many, many friends around him. And I think that he's ready to start making this a little bit of his own. All due respect for Mr. Sean Davis, who got us where we are, and we would never be here without him. But we strongly feel that Boyd will bring some good things to the Wrangler NFR.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the big key to it. The NFR is not broke, so he doesn't have to fix it.
That is correct.
Correct. Yes.
Thank you, Las Vegas events. Thank you, Las Vegas. Thank you, rodeo.
Yep.
Yep.
Now, how do you jockey your position as a decision maker for the future in that cluster of power people? A lot of it has to do with being able to listen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then immediately deliver what's needed or what it takes to make it better.
Yep.
Boyd can do that.
Yep.
Yep.
You know, Boyd has he has a high EQ and a high IQ. And, you know, you need both those in this business, right? I mean, you got to be able to balance both those out in this decision-making. You know, the NFR, is it safe to say that the NFR kind of creates a lot of momentum for the rodeo business? What happens at NFR kind of like trickles down to the rest of the rodeos as we move forward with whatever that may be?
Every day.
Yeah.
Every one-day rodeo, two-day rodeo, 10-day rodeo.
Yep.
Every day.
So, I mean, that's a responsibility we don't talk about.
It's the last apple on the tree.
Yep. That's the one I think of for Boyd is that what, you know, yes, what you do in those 10 days every year in and out, but it's that kind of that momentum that you're doing for rodeo through the NFR.
Yep.
That's a big responsibility.
Very similar to the Super Bowl and football.
100%.
NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Set the standard.
That's a good one. I don't think Boyd, right, when he talks about when they brought him out and he kind of interviewed it and it was all accidental kind of, I don't think he was thinking about, oh, I'll be running this thing in 30 years, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
He's got a lot of good years left, guys.
Yes, he does. And we are so looking forward to it.
Yeah, we are. It's already been a great time.
Yeah,
it has. We're all blessed to have him in that position.
Yeah. I tell you, Bob, obviously we could talk to you for days. There's a lot of things that we could just keep dropping in here.
You holler back whenever you want. I've always got time for you.
Yeah. I just want one. You've seen NFR in Vegas for exactly how long it's been. Not asking for your favorite, but is there a moment that comes to mind that really kind of is dear to your heart that you saw out there in the competition and the dirt? Something.
Oh,
geez. I know there's a lot.
Yeah, moments of competition, moments of empathy, moments of success, moments of, I got 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and we asked the same question to...
You know, watching Trevor Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
And what he just accomplished.
There
you go. I watched the same thing with Roy Cooper and Tom Ferguson and Joe Beaver and Larry Mahan. Mm-hmm. And to go back and think, who rode the greatest bucking horse? There have been 100 guys make that 90-point rider better. Who wrote the fastest calf? Was it Joe? Was it Roy? Is it Tuff? Was it Trevor? Watching Trevor in the 10th round last year in the calf open was the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, that was awesome.
To see how that, you know, came to fruition.
Yep.
Okay.
Put that exclamation point in.
You can't. You got to pinpoint all 10 days for all these years that somebody excelled. I can remember hearing the snap with Cody Ohl.
Mm.
I can remember Jake Barnes cutting his thumb off, and I'm looking at it 10 feet in front of me. Seeing Cody Ohl reach for his knife to cut himself loose so he could crawl to that calf in time. You've got to think about guys that were riding with a broken arm or rode their think about all the years of Donnie Gay and all the great bulls that he rode. Think about Wade Sundell. How many years was he that close?
Oh, God, it's too many.
You know, to make it work in the bronc ride.
Yep.
How many years was somebody close to that and never made it? But they still, you know, won $1.5 million, $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
I don't base anything on money, guys, because as soon as it does, it blurs.
Yeah.
It blurs your reason to play.
That's a good point.
Reason you get to play is because God said you did.
Yep.
And if you'll take that strength and faith and continue, you will never regret have been a player.
That's why we pray every night.
Yep.
That was good. You answered it exactly how I thought you'd answer it.
He just dropped the mic.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good stuff, Bob. Yeah, we definitely want to get back on.
Just remember, in verbal delivery, if you hit the target, less is more. Leave it alone. Get ready for the next challenge.
That should be on a t-shirt. That is awesome. That's a good point.
Mr. Tallman, it is always, always a pleasure to speak with you. You throw so much out there at us that I can't even digest it quick enough.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I love listening.
Oh, guys, don't give me the credit. Take the credit for yourselves, and thank you for your time today.
Yeah,
thank you,
sir.
Good
to listen to me ramble.
Oh, we love it.
Hey, we got to listen to Corley 2 weeks ago. We did Paul Hemus Few back in March. You know, it doesn't stop. We've hung out with Wayne, Mooney. I got to tell you, Bob, hanging out with you guys is fantastic. Your guys' voice, your knowledge, your passion.
Stories.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And you're the center of rodeo. Mm-hmm. I know you don't want to say that, but I mean, you are. It's like where
I'm
your
just
position
proud
is.
To be a small part of it, guys. I'm very blessed.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on the show, Bob, and we'll definitely bring you back on. Enjoy your long run of rodeos right now, and stay healthy, get good
stuff. Yes. Stay healthy, my friend.
That, and I'm blessed with 19 inches of rain at home.
Well, yeah.
Can't even eat grass fast enough.
Good old Mother Nature taking care of us again.
I love it. I thought I was busy the other day, and I talked to Sean Davis. He was in Minneapolis. He's got 31 horses to deal with.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's right.
I said, oh, my God, Buck.
That's right. He's moved on to his other career. He's full-fledged now. Man.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, thank you. Enjoy up north there.
Thank you.
Good weather.
Give Tina hugs and kisses from us.
I will. I'll see you in the afternoon, about 5 o'clock.
All right, sir.
Bless you both. Thank you.
Bye, Mr. Dahlman.
Cheers to Vegas.
For more information about the world standings and the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo, visit NFRExperience.com.
Follow the NFR Extra podcast by visiting NFRExperience.com, NFRExtra.Vegas, and now on Spotify, Google Play, and SoundCloud.
Hi, I'm Haley Kinsel, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm Boyd Paul Hamus, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm Rusty Wright, and this is NFR Extra.
Hi there, I'm Frank Thompson from Cheyenne Frontier Days, and you are listening to NFR Extra.
We have Susan Canode, our NFR insider, joins the show today. Susan has covered the sport of rodeo for more than 30 years. And she has rodeo stories to tell for days, days and days and days. We dive into the College National Finals Rodeo and what's on tap for the NFR Insider Stories. And man, did we learn a lot with the College Finals. Well, my goodness, did we learn
a lot. I think she gives us an education every time we have her on.
Yeah, that's true. And there was other conversations that are not on this show that we could have, but we'll
save
it for later. Yeah, no, we got more. Anytime you sit down with Susan and talk rodeo, it's a conversation for sure.
All right, today we got Susan Canode, the NFR Insider, joining us on the podcast. Welcome, Susan.
Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hello. How you doing?
Hello.
Yes. How you doing, Susan?
I'm great. I'm enjoying my last week at home before my busy summer rodeo run.
Yes,
at my age, I wouldn't still be worrying about a summer rodeo run because I'm not trying to make the NFR.
Oh, you've been listening to our podcast. Yes, wow.
Well, we're very timely here, right? We've caught up to some things, and obviously right after Memorial Day, the summer rodeos start getting heating up. But then one of the bigger caveats that I know that you get to work on, Susan, is they call it the College National Finals Rodeo. So I got a question for you. Well,
that's
a few.
Right.
Who, what, why, where, and when is the College National Finals
so
Rodeo?
So just sum it all up.
Yeah. Just the what is it, Susan?
Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes. Absolutely.
June 9th through the 15th at the Casper Event Center in Wyoming, there will be about 400 individuals representing more than 100 colleges and universities from 11 geographic regions competing in 9 events for national championships at the College National Finals Rodeo.
Whew. Jeez.
So what's your role?
Wow.
Yes.
So, yeah. that's a good question. People ask me, well, I tell the mutton busters where to go.
That stuff's popular on social.
I have managed the media and helped with the publicity for the event for 23 years.
Wow, you've seen a lot. You've seen, you know, with that kind of knowledge, you're gonna a couple of the questions we have down here.
You know, I think she works with one of our past guests. Is a Mr. Andy Seiler? Is he announcing this year?
Yes.
He is, and I remember when I first met Andy, he was a competitor there.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And
did he bring a bag of peanuts with him?
No, I'm sure when he was in college, promoting his product wasn't at the top of his list. No,
kind of like Thomas beef jerky now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If we could get Tallman and Seiler and, you know, have a picnic.
We could own our own airlines.
Who else does Andy work with out there?
Well, Boyd Paul Hamus.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Wow. That's nice.
Also a former college rodeo athlete. Yeah.
Really?
That's so awesome. It's really cool.
Was he a
cool
barrel racer? I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. You've seen him ride a saddle horse.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah,
that's a super tall barrel racer.
Seriously, sometime get him to tell you the story about the time that he rode Rocky, Kelly Kaminsky's barrel racing horse.
Yeah.
He's on the next show, so that's duly noted.
Yeah, so talk to him about that because... That's all I'm going to say.
Susan, this is why we love you.
Oh, I have tidbits of information that I've even forgotten.
Oh, no. Hey, so,
you
know, we do kind of want to pick your brain a little bit and see if you could name maybe two or three contestants that have been competing at a high level, and they look like they're walking away as the new CNFR champ.
Well, we have a couple guys that are returning from last year, so that it may or may not be an advantage. It's rodeo, just like the NFR. You think that someone's going in the lead or a returning champion. They start at zero at the college finals, which is a different format. But you would think that maybe they have an advantage, and then the luck of the draw gets them, or they miss a horse out, or something happens and it all goes south. So, you know, I'm really looking for Ty Harris to do well. He was our tie down roping champion last year and was a men's rookie. He was the Resist All Rookie of the Year.
Which college?
Well, last year he was going to Cisco College. This year he's Texas A&M Commerce.
Wow.
I would imagine he's doing a lot of that online, but he's moved from the Southwest region, I believe, to the Southern region. I'm not positive on that, but I know he's in the Southern region and leading the tight end roping standings. So I really look for him to come back and do well. And then Tyler Burgess from Tarleton State, he was our bareback riding champion. He's done had some success in the PRCA as well, and he'll be back, so I really think he'll probably be a tough one to beat in the bareback riding, providing he gets good horses.
Hmm. This is kind of a silly question. Yeah. Just kind of comparing my fandom to NBA, NFL. Do you ever have guys that are maybe going, they get to their junior year, and they're so good, they have to go to the pro level? Like, they just skip out, and they're like, I have to go. This competition is, I'm good, but I need more challenges. Does that happen a lot with the CNFR or within the college circuit, I guess?
It happens some, but more often it would happen with a barrel racer because she has a horse that she feels she can go compete on, and that the window of opportunity for those horses is smaller than the window of opportunity for, say, Ty Harris.
Gotcha.
So, and the big difference is because college rodeo is considered a club sport and it has no affiliation with the NCAA, so they can get money at pro rodeos and compete at college rodeos at the same time.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and there's 10 rodeos in each region, each of the 11 regions. And then the top three in each event regionally get qualified to go to the CNFR, as well as the teams. And it's up to the coaches to say you're on my team or you're not on my team. So they're trying to get points, and the coaches have some strategy there too. But if they would go to five rodeos in between their pro rodeo schedules, and they would win a bunch of points at those rodeos, and be high enough, you know, they would only have to go to 5. They wouldn't have to go to 10 to qualify for the CNFR.
Yeah.
They might still go to 10, but...
Yeah. Wow. Well, and, you know, so if the NCAA was involved, there's a good chance that no one's making money then, right, as far as contestants go. I'm just alluding to like NCAA basketball, things like that. So it's a good thing. Stay club rodeo.
Stay club rodeo, yes. And also those college rodeos, you know, it's like most rodeos. There's entry fees paid, and it turns into a big jackpot, but they still have to pay to play. And that would go away as well. And so it would just change the whole structure and it would change the game. I'm not sure we would have a game if it was part of the NCAA.
So are those contestants at that level, are they permitted sponsorships?
Mm. Yes. Yes, the National Intercollegiate Rodeo Association has a patch program. And, in fact, one year we got to find Sage Kimsey because he hadn't registered his patch sponsorship before he wrote his first bull.
Was that Bloomer Trailer sponsorship?
Not yet. So, you know, but they can have patch sponsors. They can have when Corey Solomon was in college rodeo, he had a big deal on the back of his trailer that said, "Thanks, Mom and Dad."
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
That was kind of his, so cool stuff. And it's fun for me to see these kids just kind of getting their feet wet and figuring out what direction they're going to go and have them better prepared for a career in the PRCA if that's the direction they choose to go.
Hey, so who's probably in your eye, and you don't have to pick favorites, just someone who kind of sticks out that was kind of a really looked at champion for CNFR and then went on for success on the pro circuit. Is there just a cowboy that kind of comes to mind that everybody knows or somebody? No barrel racers. No barrel racers.
So first and foremost, just to think about how difficult it is to do that.
Yep.
And it is a big stepping stone. But the CNF, so at high school rodeo, we'll start with high school rodeo. When you go to the high school finals, there's more events to compete in, and most cowboys and cowgirls are competing in various events and trying to figure out which one they're best at or which one they love the most or what they want to do. And so there's about 1,600 contestants at the high school finals. If you divide that by 4, you get 400. And that's about how many contestants qualify for the CNFR.
Oh, wow.
And if, again, you divide that by 4, you get 100. Well, we have 120 contestants at the NFR. Mm. So if you think about how that works, you know, and it's relative to other sports, too. You always have more kids playing high school football than you do college football into the pros. But it talks about how it shows how difficult it is to do. So then if you think about 1,600 contestants and trying to beat all of those contestants to get a national championship, and then 400 contestants and trying to beat those guys or girls to get a national championship. So the one person that really stands out in my mind is Spencer Wright. Well, it is, but people don't know this about Spencer. He won the national high school title, the college national finals, and won a world title in the PRCA.
Wow.
Okay, so how many have done that?
Yeah, not too many, right?
Well, first he went to rodeos in the state of Utah and competed in high school and qualified through his state to go to the national high school finals. And then he beat all the other saddle bronc riders at the national high school finals. And then he went on to college. He was at the College of Southern Idaho. And he qualified by being best in the region or part of the CSI team. I don't remember which, and it doesn't matter, but he became one of the 400 qualifiers to the CNFR and became the best saddle bronc rider at the CNFR. Mm. And then he started riding in the PRCA, won enough money at various rodeos to be among the top 15 to go to the NFR and became the best saddle bronc rider in our in the PRCA.
So those three titles, the high school, the college, and the NFR, the Gold Buckle, how many current rodeo contestants or even past legends, how many have had that opportunity to win all three of those?
Yeah, seriously.
Well, there have been a lot that have had the opportunity.
Yeah.
But there have been very few that have actually successfully done that. Hmm. Janae Ward did it in the barrel racing, and Ty Murray did it in the all around.
Wow.
But
oh,
through
that's
all
surprising.
My research.
Shock.
Well, yeah, shock. But again, so the all around, I'm not going to say it's easier to win, but he was competing in more than one event, so he had more opportunities to win. Spencer and Janae did it in a single event.
Mm. Wow. So, man,
I'd like to do some research and find out how big that list is.
Yeah, I guess you start thinking about how the bar gets raised. They always do comparisons in other sports, right? And they kind of like, all right, this guy entered this realm with these other two people, right? Just making it up, it could be like Wilt Chamberlain and Shaquille O'Neal or something like that. And I'm like, oh my God, they're in that company. That's how you start to measure. But when you bring up a name like Ty Murray, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's pretty
sure.
Good.
But we look at Trevor Brazil, and he never won a title. And Sage Kimsey, neither one of them ever won a title at the collegiate level. Hmm.
Trevor Brazil is like the Tom Brady of rodeo.
Yeah,
I mean seriously, he is.
He is, but that's why, you know, I have to bring up Spencer Wright. People would immediately think, well, Trevor's won everything there is to win in rodeo.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to disappoint you, but Jerome Schneeberger won the tie-down roping twice and beat Trevor Brazil at the collegiate level.
And I bet you Trevor remembers that like it was yesterday, you know?
I'm sure he does. He could tell you what horse he was riding, exactly what happened.
He That's probably crazy. Still owns the calf.
Man.
That is always a possibility.
Yeah. Well, Susan, you've answered quite a few questions that we were going into the next one, which is fantastic. So, obviously, we're talking about National Finals Rodeo in the terms of both the things that we're going to talk about here, or we've been talking about. What are some similarities and differences between the CNFR and the NFR when it comes to prize money, which you alluded to that can be done.
Format.
Because you'd mentioned earlier that the format's a little different. So what's prize format? Obviously, we know you totally broke down how you get into the CNFR, which is fantastic. What happens when you get there, and how does that break down?
When you get there, all the contestants compete in three rounds of competition. So instead of 10, we only have three. If we had 10, we'd probably be there a month, and three is enough because we have more contestants. And then they figure an average, and the top 12 in each event qualify for the final competition and a chance to win a national title. Along with a little bit of money, it's not a lot because they're college kids, but they are basically competing for scholarships and scholarship opportunities. And so that's and the prestige of a national championship, of course. So it's just different, but three rounds and then a final round.
Yeah. So the marketing-wise, though, I would assume you winning that actually helps you go to the next level as far as sponsorship goes. Right? I mean, like, you right away create, you know, you increase your value. I would imagine
Without a doubt. Yeah. It definitely helps. Each one of the national champions has an opportunity to sign a contract with Cinch right away.
Oh, that's
so Cinch jeans and shirts have been tremendous sponsors. We had Wrangler for sponsors for years, and they also were great to the association, but Cinch has really gotten involved and tried to help the individuals as well as the association.
So this is, and because you help with us during our NFR crazy 2-week run in December. Is there any of our junior circuit folks that have competed at Cowboy Christmas going to be in the CNFR this year?
You mean the Junior World Finals contestants?
Yes.
I think a couple of the tie downs, but
yeah.
Go ahead, Susan. You probably know more.
Well, actually, I don't. Hmm. I hate to say, because I know like who won a lot of the junior NFR events, but I couldn't, without having without seeing a full contestant list. I know a couple of years ago, Remy is his first name, Parrott.
Yep.
Yeah, Remy Parrott was there, and Remy would be a candidate, but I'm not sure he's going to college. I think he is not, and his older brother, of course, went to the NFR, yep. And so Rowdy.
Yes.
And Rowdy skipped the college route. Rowdy Parrott and Remy Parrott.
I was going to say, you got to say that full name. I don't think.
Rowdy and Remy Parrott.
Yeah. But I can't, off the top of my head, think of anyone who was at the junior NFR that will be competing at the CNFR. And, you know, like your bareback riders, the coach at Sam Houston State University, his son was in the bareback riding at the junior NFR, now the junior world finals, but I don't believe he's old enough to be in college yet. So I'm sure that as that event grows, you know, there will be more of those kids that would advance, of course, through high school rodeo and then on to the collegiate level.
Couple
and
they can years.
Put put the junior NFR on their rodeo resume as well, or junior world finals.
That's fantastic.
Is it hard for you guys to get used to the name change?
Just ask the folks in our office.
I mess it up all the time.
I got to switch my buckle out, I think. So.
Honestly, because junior NFR was something that we said a lot around
here. You know, actually, Pat pulls me into his office yesterday after our meeting, the NFR critique meeting, and he says, hey, you know, we need to add another title. And I'm like, what? He goes, we need to get you another set of business cards. What are you talking about? He goes, we need to get you a general manager, junior world finals business card. I go, oh, you know, so people stop calling it the junior NFR.
Yeah.
We did a pretty good job of marketing it.
Yeah. Well, a couple of years and we won't remember what the junior NFR was, and we'll just be talking about the junior world finals.
I'd love to see the PRCA take the junior NFR and do something with it. Yeah. You know, the name's there, like you said, everybody's saying it, and I think the brand is there. I would love to be able to see them attached to something and do something good with it. So,
no doubt about it. Hey, so almost done here. So, NFR Insider, what do you got coming around the corner here for the fans on social media and some blogs that we're going to be sharing from you, Susan? Anything you can share?
Absolutely. So, you know, I take after my mother, who's the most inquisitive person I know. And I'm like, we all know that Clay Elliott got hurt pretty seriously at Guymon, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And Clay is a 3-time NFR qualifier in the saddle bronc riding. And I was like, okay, so he's in Guymon, Oklahoma. Is there even a hospital there? And there is. There's a 25-bed hospital in Guymon.
Whoa.
Yeah. And a lot of our rodeos happen in rural communities and rural settings without the best medical care available. So what happens, and how does this whole process work of getting Clay Elliott to a really good surgeon who can take good care of him, and how does that all happen?
Ugh, man.
So I talked to Clay, I've talked to Justin Sports Medicine, I've talked to doctors, I've talked to the hospital that was, and there's a whole process, and in order for this whole thing to work as well as it did, there were a lot of cogs on the wheel, and the cogs came together at the right time and the right place to get Clay the medical treatment that he needed. So that's going to be kind of a cool thing. It's just, you know, there's a lot of things, like you guys talked about how much you learn and the things that you don't really expect to gravitate towards in our rodeo world. And there's a lot of things, even after covering it for 30 years, that I go, oh, I wonder how that happened, or what did they do next, or how. And I think our fans deserve the opportunity to see some of that, and that's what the NFR Insider is all about. So that's what we're doing, and then, of course, we got another chapter of Rodeo Inc. coming, and we'll do another one-on-one. So
another chapter.
That was very popular, by the way, our first episode coming out of there.
It was.
Cool.
They liked it. And, you know, the cool, the funny part was using the imagery you had and kind of posting dudes with their shirts off. So, you know, if you think about what we've been doing on most of our social media, we have not been doing that. So when you post a dude with his shirt off, the responses were pretty cool.
Different.
Yeah. I loved it.
In Chase Brooks' defense, he's built.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and he was sharing it and liking it. He was utilizing the heck out of it.
Yeah. And the photos were beautiful.
Yes.
So,
yeah,
it just, I have to do a shout out to my friend Emily Hilton, who came and took the pictures for me and let me just do my interviewing. And because a lot of times, and I'm an adequate photographer, but
yeah.
He did some magic there, and so it was that was a blessing, and it was fun to work together, and it let me focus on talking to the cowboys and getting the stories instead of worrying about taking pictures and getting the best angle and lighting and stuff. So it was fun, but we got another chapter coming up, and I think people will be surprised.
Nice, looking forward to it. Well, this was fun, Susan. Yeah, this was once again. Learning lesson for me. I learned a lot about CNFR and just other things that just kind of come away with the conversation. So
there's a reason why she has the blog titled The Insider, because she's definitely has that inside information.
Absolutely.
We have to get you guys over there to Casper, and anybody, seriously, it's a great event. Everybody is so happy to be there. It's the only level of rodeo where there are actually coaches to help get cowboys' minds right, do what they need to do, give them advice, just be a shoulder to lean on, calm their nerves, whatever needs done.
Yeah.
And usually by the time they get to the CNFR, there's not a lot of coaching involved, but there's still strategy. And so, you know, it's a really cool event.
Well, I know we're going to be getting out there. And if anything, I always want to go with Andy Seiler, Bo Gardner, and anybody else. Attending rodeos.
Yes.
That's a great experience for myself, being a city slicker, whatever you want to call me. But, you know, Susan, this was great. We really, really appreciate your
time. Thank you so much, Susan.
Thank you for coming on the show.
You're so welcome.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right.
Thank you. And we'll bring you back on. No
absolutely.
Doubt about it. Yes. End of the summer. You can
to be continued.
Yeah, we'll squeeze out of your brain all that you've experienced over the Cowboy Christmas. Let's just call it holiday, right?
Yes.
And I'll have a lot to talk about.
Perfect.
Vegas awaits. So book your hotel now at NFRExperience.com.
Hi, I'm Tyler Pearson, world champion steer wrestler, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Howdy, I'm Bob Tallman, and this is NFR Extra.
Hi, this is Derek Stevens. I'm the owner and chief executive officer of the D Las Vegas, and this is NFR Extra.
You're listening to the NFR Extra podcast, where it's all dirt, all rodeo, all year. Maria hangs with 8-time NFR bull riding champ, Donnie Gay, and he's got a lot to share, a lot, and plenty to talk about. This was recorded live at Cowboy Christmas, December 11th, 2018.
Hi, I'm Maria Prekjes, and welcome to NFR Extra, where it's all dirt, all rodeo, all year. I am super excited to have 8-time world champion bull rider, Don Gay, and we'll call you Donnie.
Donnie, that's better. I answered that better.
You do? Good.
Yeah.
Well, I know you're super busy, so thank you for spending time with me here today at the NFR. 8 gold buckles. It's not only a lot, it's the most. What's that mean to you to hold the record for the most world championships in bull riding?
You know, it's just real satisfying because, you know, that was my goal. When I was 5 years old, I wanted to be the world champion bull rider, but I never really put a number on it. I just wanted to be it forever. I just, you know, that was the forward thinking when I was little. But, you know, and then when I got close to Jim Shoulder's record, when I was getting around 5 or 6 of them, I'm thinking, like, I could win 7. And, you know, Jim Shoulders being like a second father to me, I'm thinking, well, that'd be kind of cool. And then I got to 7, and then I got hurt. And so I didn't think there was going to be an opportunity for the 8th, but I laid out a year and a half, and the old bod kind of rejuvenated. But I got an invitation to go ride a bull for President Reagan, and I thought, you know, a guy can stand anything for 8 seconds to get to go to the White House and meet him. And Louis L'Amour was getting the Congressional Medal from Reagan. And so I just thought it was really kind of neat. And I didn't realize it, but the Secret Service agent, the head of security in the White House, was a kid I used to go deer hunting with when I was 9 years old. So I got the tour inside the White House, and I rode that bull. I tipped my hat to the president before I got off, and I told George Michael that I was going for my 8th world title right there. That was in September of 83.
That is so that was, you're like, I'm going for it, why not? Yeah. And you accomplished it.
And I got it done, and I tell you, my biggest supporter was Jim Shoulders. He was like a second father to me, being partners with my dad at the Mesquite Rodeo. So I grew up, and I think I absorbed a lot of stuff that I didn't know that I had absorbed, because it was just so good. And Jim pulled my rope on one of those bulls and during the finals in 84, and he said, when it feels good, go ahead and spur him a little bit, you know. And so that was pretty special.
What was, I mean, I know your dad gave you a lot of advice. What's something besides that in the moment that Jim told you that stuck with you? I mean, being a second father, I'm sure there was a lot of advice.
Well, watching Jim. Jim didn't, he didn't dispense with a lot of fatherly type advice. It was more kick you in the butt kind of advice. And both of them subscribed to the, you don't halfway rob a bank. You either did or you didn't. Period. And so that's how I was raised. And, you know, so say what's on your mind. Don't leave anybody guessing what you're thinking. And go do what you set out to do. You know, say it and then do it.
And you did. To the president. That's when you're like tipped in. And you told George Michael. So it was a huge, I mean, most people know his sports show. I mean, that was huge. And for it to get all over America, you had to go do it.
Well, and rodeo is my life. My daddy started the Mesquite Rodeo in 1958. I was 5 years old, world's biggest dirt playground. And, you know, my older brother Pete and I both went to the national finals first in 1972. It was the year I graduated from high school. You know, it was just expected of us. But my daddy didn't push us to ride. Now, we had to work in the rodeo. I accused him of having child slave labor, but we grew up, we had to work. But if we wanted to ride, he was going to support us. But he said, even if you wanted to play the flute, he said, I'll go support you. He said, but you're going to be the best you can be, or you and I are going to have some problems.
Well, and you became the best you could be. Now, some things people might not know about you. You grew up, your dad started Mesquite, big stock contracting family.
Yeah.
But you're the GM now of another big stock contracting business, Frontier Rodeo, and they've won multiple times, you know, Contractor of the Year.
This year, the four-time stock contracting firm of the year, and Jerry Nelson is the owner. Heath Stewart is the managing director, and we've got, in my mind, the best rodeo crew that I've ever been in contact with, and I've been around every single one of them on multiple occasions. And being involved with Frontier Rodeo is real satisfying. I never had to cut the cord and separate myself from the rodeo business. I've liked and had passion for two things, flying airplanes and rodeoing. And flying's how I'd get to the rodeos the majority of my career. So I've always felt like I've been on a real vacation since the day I graduated from high school.
Well, I know, because you're a pilot. I was like, years ago, someone goes, oh yeah, Donnie just flew himself here. I go, excuse me? How did you get into aviation?
Larry Mahan, basically, because I could go to rodeos when I was 16 years old. I had my card. It was before pro rodeo got over-lawyered. You know, I had my card when I was 16 years old, and if I didn't make lower than a C on my report card and I didn't miss a day of school, I could go to rodeos. And so Larry Mahan was living in Dallas and had an airplane, and so I could work rodeos like Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where I broke my neck, and fly right back to Dallas. and not be late for school.
So you just
and I just thought everything Larry Mahan did was just the coolest thing on the planet, and so I was going to try to do that too.
Well, you thought it was cool. You thought he was cool, but you've taken the aviation thing to the next step, and you're a pilot, and you fly yourself, and you fly others.
I fly Jerry Nelson. I'm his chief pilot for Frontier Rodeo, the company just bought our first jet, and I never thought I'd be a jet pilot because it cost a lot of money to fly a jet versus, a twin engine piston that I still. Of course, my airplane's a 1966 model twin Cessna 310, the old Sky King movie. That's the kind of airplane it is. Now I have a jet rating. I'm a co-pilot, second in command on a Citation 5, and that's kind of fun. Well, I feel like I'm drinking out of a fire hose still because I've only got about 25 hours in that airplane, and there's a lot to it, but just taking off and landing, flying a plane, it's a piece of cake.
So let's compare flying a plane and bull riding. What are the likes and the passions for both? But is there any comparison? I mean, there still has to be a little adrenaline when you're flying a plane. I mean, you're flying a plane.
Yeah, and you have people in the back are counting on you to know what you're doing. And so, yeah, that weighs on your shoulders. But it's two professions. When I step up on the wing of the airplane, I take my cowboy hat off and put on my pilot hat, and vice versa. When there's those few seconds of sheer terror, you got to choke it back. Go through your checklist, fix the problem in the bull riding, make the whistle or get unhung and get to the fence. A lot of similarities to it. It's all about controlling your emotions, being well prepared. It's no problem.
I was going to say take me for a plane ride until you said the terror.
Well, it's hours and hours of boredom, and then a few seconds of sheer terror, but that's really good for your cardio. Keeps you off the treadmill some.
You know, we all have to fly home after this, so I'm just saying.
I'm going to tell you, flying an airplane, especially flying jets with the capabilities that they have, is so much safer than driving down the highway with these idiots looking at their telephone. Come on. I'd rather race drunk drivers than somebody texting.
I'm with you on that.
The drunk driver is looking at four lanes instead of just two, but he's at least looking. If you're looking at your phone, you ain't seeing nothing.
Oh, you're too funny. So let's talk about rodeo, how it's changed, where you think it's going to go, where you hope it goes, the governing organization.
You can look back at Jim Scholder's interviews and it'll be the same thing. The difference in rodeo, it begins with M and ends in Y, money. I hate saying this, but Sage banked $1,600,000 riding bulls last year. And so I said the other day, it's really beginning to make sense to be a bull rider. And then I thought, oops. what's that say about me? But that's the only real difference is money, because that makes people think a little differently. It also makes you think sometimes you're a little smarter than you really are. So there's pluses and minuses to everything in this world. Management, ideas, how you can grow the sport. It's all fine and good to armchair quarterback it, but if you really love the sport, you got to be super careful that you don't mess up what a lot of old guys have worked really hard bringing it to where it is right now. And it's pretty darn good right this minute, right now. It's kind of like Trump making America great again. We're the greatest country in the world, and we still were before he took office. But the attitude is way better now.
Well, and you're still very involved. And here in Vegas, you host an after party, an after show called National Finals Tonight with Joe Beaver and Dan Miller. What's that? I mean, you interview cowboys. I mean, you just...
It's so much fun because, we bring contestants that are in the heat of the battle, whether they've won, whether they didn't win, hurt, not hurt. It's a lot of fun to be able to interact with them and give the people, a little bit more of a personal look at some of these guys and girls. And it's just a lot of fun. I'm a Boyd Gaming ambassador and have been for 17 years. And it's... I started out signing autographs for them at the Stardust Hotel, you know. So that's been the hotel's not there anymore, but Boyd Gaming and I am still here. So this is working really well.
We're glad you're still here. And Hall of Fame, stuff like that, I mean, you have a lot of accolades. How do you choose, or did they just all so great?
I got put in all those Hall of Fames while I was still riding. I'd won enough, and I almost missed it. You know, they don't mean as much to me while I'm active. I think maybe they will when I'm a little less active, but that's more for the fans of the business to see who's done what, and if you're truly great, you lasted a long time. There's a lot of flash in the pans out there.
Well, and the fans are great. And you still, just walking here to join us today, you still get, hi, can I get a picture, an autograph? You're still signing.
Somebody said, don't you get tired of taking pictures and signing autographs? And I said, heck, man, at my age, I'm glad somebody still wants it.
Well said, my friend. Any just last thoughts on rodeo, your career? And I mean, you still have a long ways to go, and you're still doing a lot in this sport.
Well, you know, I know that I contributed, you know, some good things to Frontier Rodeo and flying the airplane for Jerry Nelson. That's my job. I don't ever see retiring. And you know, the rodeo business is alive and well. Sage Kimsey is going to break my record. And that's always with that caveat, can he stay healthy and focused, and can he resist the urge of all these other outfits promising him the moon to get them to come over? Because I told him, I said, as a competitor, you're nothing but a piece of meat, and once you're all chewed up, you'll get thrown in the trash. So get it, everything done you want to do. And I said, the PBR, the XYZ, all of the alphabet soup, none of that matters. If you do what you want to do, and that's break my record, everybody will talk about that for a long time.
Well, I enjoyed talking to you today. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you. I'm Sage Kimsey's biggest supporter. I'm cheerleader.
You are, and it's amazing in this sport that you hold the record, and you're like, he's going to break it. I want him to break it, and it just shows how wonderful this
that's what they're for.
Is.
I mean, that, you know, and so once he does that, then there'll be another little Sage Kimsey or Donnie Gay come along and say, I can do that, you know. So that's good.
Well, you can, you did, and you continue to inspire tons, so thanks so much.
Thank you.
Donnie Gay, 8-time world champion bull rider, right here on the NFR Extra, where it's all dirt, all rodeo, all year. Thanks for joining us.
Follow the NFR Extra podcast by visiting NFRExperience.com, NFRExtra.Vegas, and now on Spotify.
Hi, I am Benny Butler, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Hi, I am Louis Messina, and you listen to NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm world champion Ryder Wright, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm Caleb Bennett, and this is NFR Extra.
That is it for Episode 6 of NFR Extra, and we need to thank a few folks before we go, Bo.
Envy, that's true. We'd love to throw out a huge thank you to Mr. Bob Tolman for his wealth of knowledge and insight of the Reno Rodeo.
We want to also give a big thanks to Tyler Wigsback, Haley Kinsel, and Wade Sundell for taking their time out on their busy rodeo schedule to give us some insight where they're at, what they're feeling, how they're going, and where they're ending up, hopefully, in December.
Hey, I never hear... We don't have to twist too many arms to get them to Vegas, but it is a busy schedule, so we very much appreciate them making the effort.
Yeah, taking a break, there's like a rodeo every day once the summer starts. So yeah, getting away, those are dollars out of the pocket.
And we're never done thanking our NFR insider, Miss Susan Canode. Thank you very much for the College Rodeo 101 session we just had.
Yeah, boy, did we learn a lot there.
A huge thank you to Maria Prekajis and her guest, 8-time bull riding world champion, Mr. Donnie Gay.
That was a great one. And, you know, obviously we got more. We hope to get Donnie on so you and I get to talk.
Yeah, that's right.
That's kind
right.
of the one that I look forward to. That'll be a lot of talk there. Join us in 2 weeks when Boyd Paul Hamus comes back on the show to set the stage for the summer rodeos on Bo's Bull. And Jeff Chadwick from Wrangler comes on. Going to learn a lot there from him.
He has a lot to say.
Yes, he does. See you in 2 weeks. Or, well, we'll catch you in 2 weeks.
There you go. Gotta make it out to Vegas. We're the big boy.
what is wrong with the Rovers and the Racers and the Bulls and the Browns and the ladies in the skin-tight Wranglers and the cowboy hats.